Samantachakkhavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Santamam Munirajasa Sunantu Sakamokadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanda Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanda Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanda Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Good afternoon, everybody. So today's talk, now the title of the talk, you all know already, The Power of Mind. So before I start this talk, let me pose a question. And this question is posed by a deva, a deity to the Buddha. The deva asks, by what is the world led around? By what is it dragged here and there? What is the one thing that has all under its control? And the Buddha answered, the world is led around by mind. By mind, it is dragged here and there. Mind is the one thing that has all under its control. So as a conclusion, mind leads the world. So mind is a powerful element that affects our whole being. However, the power of it is almost unknown. So today, I'd like to reveal to you how the mind affects us, even to the whole planet of the world, to the whole world. Okay. So, when we talk about mind, we know mind can be divided into two categories. One is wholesome mind, one is unwholesome mind. And what is wholesome mind? Whatever mental state that is morally praiseworthy and productive of happy result is called wholesome mind. So this wholesome mind must be associated with good mental states like generosity, loving kindness, compassion, patience, and so on. And wisdom, concentration, faith, mindfulness, and so on. On the other hand, unwholesome mind. Whatever state of mind that is morally blameworthy and productive of painful result is called unwholesome state of mind. Okay. And let us see first how the wholesome state of mind can protect us from the danger and harm that fall upon us. Okay. In Abhidhamma, we know every good state of mind or whatever state of mind can produce, we call cittajya rupa, a matter produced by mind. So this cittajya rupa, matter produced by mind, in a group, we call kalapa, rupa kalapa. So inside that a group of element called Rupa Kalapa, there is one called Tejo, heat or temperature. So whatever good state of the mind can produce Chitaja Rupa, matter produced by mind internally. And inside that Rupa, there's one called fire element or temperature. That temperature has the potency to produce new generation of temperature-born Kalapa. And this temperature-born Kalapa can spread out outside the body. I can generate more and more and produce one generation after one after another. And it can travel far, very far. So suppose you have a good intention or good mind, and that good mind can produce Chitaja Rupa, and that inside the Chitaja Rupa there's fire element that can produce Rupa, can produce new generation of Rupa Kalapa that travel fast. And that things that travel fast is called energy in easy understand language. In Chinese we call 磁场, or in English we may call energy, good energy, or good vibration. And that good vibration, that good energy has soothing effect on either animate things or inanimate things. Let us give an example. During Buddha's time, let us take Buddha's as an example. During Buddha's time, Devadatta has evil desire. He wants to harm Buddha and take over his position. So one day, he make an elephant, Naragiri. He intoxicated that Naragiri elephant. And when Buddha come for Pindapata on the way, and he let loose that intoxicated elephant, and that elephant rushed very fierce, rushed violently to the Buddha. At that moment, Ananda, who is the attendant of Buddha, wanted to sacrifice his life in order to protect Buddha. But Buddha said, Ananda, don't worry. No one can harm me. So on the spot, Buddha used loving kindness meditation, radiate loving kindness metta to this intoxicated elephant. May this elephant be well and happy, free from anger and so on. So his wholesome mental state associated with loving kindness produced my mental produced my mind. And inside that fire element also generate new generation one after another, and that energy, that vibration come up from his body and create a very wholesome vibration that has soothing effect on that intoxicated elephant. And that elephant, when he come near to the Buddha and change his behavior change and become from aggressiveness become soft, and he kneel down in front of the Buddha as though paying respect to the Buddha. So from this incident, we come to understand the wholesome state of the mind emit very strong good vibration that has soothing effect on the aggressiveness on the other party. This first of all, we are protected simply because of the wholesome state of the mind. You don't have to use weapon to fight with the elephant. Just use the power of the mind to overcome, or in Chinese we say 化解, to overcome, to dissolve all the dangers and harm that come upon you. Or you may say that, this is Buddha's power. I don't have that power. Okay, then I will give you one of my own example. Okay, and many years ago when I was in Penang, living in a forest, in the midnight, I woke up in the midnight because I feel very strong, painful sensation all over my body. Then I checked what was wrong, what was happening, and I saw many black, tiny ants all over my body and biting me. That very tiny black ants, although it's very tiny black ant, but the bite is very painful. I feel my skin become inflamed immediately. So I try to pick the ant out from my skin. However, it's too many, so I cannot do. Finally, I think the only thing I can do is to radiate metta. So I sit up and send metta to this black ant, black tiny ants. May all these black ants be free from anger. May they be well and happy again and again. I think about 3 minutes. Amazingly, the black ants stopped biting me, except one or two who are slow receiver from my metta. However, first time when I do not send metta, they bite me, I can feel the pain. But after radiating metta, two ants bite me, I cannot feel the pain at all. I know there's a biting, but there's no painful sensation. Why? Because the mind is in wholesome state. When your mind is in metta, in wholesome state, you cannot feel any pain that inflict upon you. So from this experience, I learned a lot of lessons from this experience. First, metta can dissolve all the dangers. Secondly, when your mind is in wholesome state, you cannot feel any painful sensation. No wonder why Bodhisattva, when he practiced his Bodhisattvahood in order to perfect his parami, sometimes his hand, limbs was chopped off. Before I have this experience, I always wonder why Bodhisattva cannot feel the pain. The limbs was chopped off by other people. Ear was chopped off. How can't he cannot feel the pain? I cannot understand why. Until my own experience, being bitten by the black ant and no painful sensation at all, then I start to understand why Bodhisattva cannot feel the pain. This is the power of the mind. When you have the mental wholesomeness, that mental wholesomeness has such a power that you can't feel the pain. It's very amazing. Okay. And the third story I want to share with you, another power of the mind. It's Sakka's story. Sakka, the king of the gods. One day, a yakka, a deformed yakka, appeared in the Tawatingsa, and he sat on the seat of Sakka. And all the devas in the Tawatingsa get very offended and get very annoyed by his behavior, and they try to find fault in him by telling some angry words, abusing that deformed yakka. But the more the deva find fault in the yakka, deformed yakka, the more handsome the deformed yakka becomes. So all these deva was very stunned, scratching their head. What's wrong? What happened? The more we find fault in her, in him, the more handsome he turns out. The more handsome he becomes. So they relate this story, this episode to Yaka. It's a very amazing. So they tell the whole story to the king of the gods, the Yaka. And the Saka. And the Saka said that this Yaka must be anger-eating Yaka. Anger-eating Yaka means that you get angry with him, he eats your anger, he becomes more and more handsome, more and more strong. Okay. Then the Deva said that, Saka said that, okay, let me deal with him. So he wear his upper robe and go in front of him and kneel down one of his knee on the floor and put his palm together, pay respect to this Yaka, which is much lower than his position. Then Saka said that, I am Lord of God, I am Saka. He called his name for 3 times. So with Saka's patience and humble, he behaved very humble to those who are more inferior to him, not superior to him. So with this power of the mind, the power of the humbleness and the power of patience, and declare his name to the deformed Yaka, and this Yaka suddenly become smaller and smaller, become more and more deformed, smaller and smaller, until he disappear on a seat. So Saka, by using the power of the mind, the power of wholesome mind, subdued the anger-eating Yaka. Therefore, we should not underestimate the power of the mind, especially the wholesomeness of the mind. Okay. Another wholesome state of the mind, like compassion, karuna. The compassion or karuna has healing power in our own body, which we do not know. Many of us very concerned about how meditation can cure my body, can cure my body. This is very common question people ask. Therefore, today I also want to share with you how compassion meditation. Even non-need meditation, just a thought of compassion that arouses in your mind can immediately create a healing power in your body and heal your sickness. I experienced this many times in my life. I can simply take one example. There's one day I was in Los Angeles conducting a retreat. In the midnight, I have acute pain under my abdomen, lower abdomen. It's such an acute pain, I scream because it's so painful. So I have to scream in order to lessen my pain. Although I also note impermanent, but it looks so permanent. Then I say, non-self, but I myself also get affected. So this 2 ways not applicable. So finally I change another way, compassion. So I use my hand, put on the location where I feel so painful. Then I radiate loving compassion to all beings. I say that, may all beings be free from the acute pain I now endure. May all beings be free from the acute pain I now experience. So after, I think, few minutes, I fell asleep with acute pain. No one can feel sleep with such painful sensation. But I fell asleep until tomorrow morning I get up. When I get up, there's only a little bit sensation on my abdomen, no more painful sensation. And I tried this method for many, many instances. My headache, my abdomen pain, and many times that any sickness that occur in my body, which I cannot cure by contemplating anicca dukkha anatta, but I can heal it through compassion, meditation. Just arouse the thought of compassion. Then this compassion immediately creates a healing power in the body. I hope the doctor won't get offended by me. Otherwise, no one to go and see doctor already. Okay, so you can try it. We all have this power of the mind. Unfortunately, we do not have confidence in ourselves. Therefore, the power of the mind is not fully manifest. It's not fully manifesting. Okay. This is the wholesome side of the mind. Let us talk about a little bit the unwholesome state of the mind. When we call it unwholesome state because it's morally blameworthy and productive of painful result. And what are the unwholesome state of mind? The state of mind associated with anger, greed, jealousy, conceit, wrong view, stinginess, and so on. Okay. And before I give you further story to enhance your understanding, let me talk about the force of attraction. The force of attraction. One day, Buddha saw Venerable Sariputta was walking. Was walking back and forth with a group of monks. And he also saw Venerable Mahamangalana was walking back and forth with a group of monks. Similarly, Venerable Mahakasapa also was walking back and forth with a group of monks. And finally, he also saw Venerable Devarata was walking back and forth with a group of monks. And Buddha said a very important words. He said that it's by way of elements that beings come together and unite. By same element, beings come together and unite. This is called the force of attraction. The same element come together. Then Buddha said that those follow Venerable Sariputta are of great wisdom. Therefore, they are attracted to Venerable Sariputta, who is foremost in wisdom. And those who incline, their element incline to psychic power, all of them will follow Venerable Mahamangalana. Same element will stay together. And finally, Buddha said, those who follow Devarata all have evil wishes. This is how the same element make being come together and unite. And I call it the force of attraction. So when your mind has, let's say, when anger arises in our mind, and this anger will emit energy. As I say, we call first emit citta rupa, the rupa produced by mind, and inside that kalapa, there's also tejo, fire element. That fire element will produce new generation out of the body, again and again, and this can travel far, travel very far. So if they say the anger that arises in our mind will emit that vibration, since it's anger, therefore it emits anger energy. And that anger energy will attract another anger energy to come close to you. Because same element will come together and unite, right? For example, my own example, okay. It's many years ago, almost 15 years ago, one day when I was arguing with my fellow practitioner over an issue. So both of us engaged in this argument, and my mind get very annoyed and very irritated, agitated. At a time, I do not know how to contemplate my agitation as impermanent, as not a self, as cause and effect. I do not know how to contemplate this way. So, with the anger in my mind, and I left the place and went back to my own dwelling place through the back gate. There's a back gate. So when I entered into the gate, there was a dog lying there. So the moment I enter into the gate, and the dog suddenly rushed to me and attacked me. And I fell down immediately. At that moment, I never understand why this dog attacked me. This dog was there many days already, even months. Why today he attacked me? At that time, I don't understand my mind, and I don't understand how the power of mind works. Only a few years later, when I recall this episode, I start to understand why the dog attacked me. I think now you know the answer already, right? Why the dog attacked me? Why? Because of my anger. Because my angry mind emit violent energy that provoke his violence. Otherwise, especially animals are more sensitive than the human. So the energy that violent energy that provoke his violence as well. So this dog thought I want to attack him because I come with anger. So he has to protect himself. Therefore, he attacked me first. I fell down and the dog ran away, of course. But from this, I start to understand the force of attraction. So if you want to attract the good energy, all the wholesome energy, loving kindness energy, compassion energy come to you, you yourself have to radiate that type of energy first. If you radiate the anger one, then you attract the anger energy to come near to you. This is my practical experience. At that time, I don't understand the power of the mind, the power of wholesome mind and the power of unwholesome mind. Through my many experience, practical self-experience, personal experience, I start to see clearly how the mind works and how the mind affects our whole beings, as well how the mind affects other people, even animate things, even animals, animate things, even the whole world, the whole planet. I will tell you later. Okay? And another example is in Burma. In Burma, there was a very famous monk stay in the forest. And as you know, those who stay in the forest have to practice loving kindness meditation. Otherwise, you will be harmed by wild animals. And so this monk stay in the forest with a kapya in another kuti. So there are two kuti. And very often a tiger come and sleep under the monk's, below the monk's kuti, because it's gao jiao wu, high building. Below there's a space. So a tiger always came and sleep under the kuti. So one day during winter, and the kapya was burning some firewood to keep himself warm. And at that time, the tiger also slept under the monk's kuti, below the monk's kuti. And suddenly, the tiger yawning. So when tiger was yawning, he opened his mouth. And this kapya, unable, don't know why, suddenly an evil thought arise in his mind. He said, how if I throw a firewood into his mouth? Don't laugh at him. Sometimes all evil thoughts will suddenly pop up into our mind without we have the intention. Just an elusive thought. So the thought arise in his mind. He said, how if I throw a firewood into his mouth? And this is called evil thought, right? Harmful thought. As I told you before, animals are very sensitive to sense the thought energy, the thought vibration. So the tiger seems to understand this violent energy. So he roared very terribly. The tiger roared. And the monk in the kuti heard the tiger roaring. Then he told the kapya, hi kapya, do you have bad thought to the tiger? And the kapya was so shocked. Because the monk knows the working of the mind so well. And the kapya was very shocked. Immediately he realized his evil thought. So and he also get very frightened. If the tiger attack him, he will die, certainly die. So he quickly changed his mental state. Maybe in his mind, the story didn't say very clearly, but I assume he asked forgiveness from the tiger. He said, sorry, tiger, just now I mentor for you, please forgive me. Then once he changed his mind, and the tiger go to sleep again. So it's called how the energy that emit from our unwholesome thought can affect other people. Okay, another incident. The unwholesome state of mind not only can provoke bad energy to come near to us, but also the unwholesome mind also can hasten or speed up the ripening of bad karma. If we always entertain the unwholesome thought of the mind, then this unwholesome thought of mind speed up, hasten the ripening of our bad karma. So one of the nuns related to me. She said that one day she has some argument with her teacher. And I think she cherished some misunderstanding towards her teacher. And she get very, very angry with her teacher, and she left the monastery immediately. Left with anger. Then after 2 or 3 days, still very angry, then she came back. Before came back to the monastery, she stayed in one devotee's house. At that time she went up, because it's old house, old traditional house, they must climb the stairs in order to enter into the toilet. So she climbed up to the stairs and finished the business. Then when she walked down, suddenly she fell down, and the edge of the stairs hit her spine, and she was injured. Then after some time, she started to understand. This is not careless action. This is the ripening of bad karma. Ripening of bad karma. Then only after some time, she started to understand why that bad karma ripened to her. Because she entertained anger for a few days. Her mind is in the unwholesome state for a few days, and this attracts all the unwholesome energy or unwholesome bad karma to ripen faster. Therefore, we as a human being, we have done a lot of wholesome karma, we also have done a lot of unwholesome karma. Each of us want to avoid the ripening of unwholesome karma, right? So one way to block the ripening or to delay or block the ripening of unwholesome karma is always keep your mind wholesome. Always keep the wholesome thought in your mind. Then the wholesome thought will attract the same force, same pleasant mind to you, same pleasant environment, same pleasant pleasant wholesome resultant to you. So these are a few story or instant in a few story or few examples, a real story that happened in order to tell you, to reveal to you how the wholesome mind affect our well-being and how the unwholesome mind harm us, provoke the violence of others, and finally we ourselves are affected. So the mind, the evil mind, unwholesome mind, not only affect oneself and others, but also the unwholesome mind affect the planet, the world. Because Buddha say in the Anguttara Nikaya number 4, Buddha say, at such time, as kings are corrupted in mind, are not righteous, the ministers, the priests, householder, and villagers are also corrupted. This being so, the moon, stars, sun go wrong in their courses. So when the king, the head of the country, the king and the priest and the minister, householder, all are corrupted. And the moon, the star, and the sun also will go wrong in their courses. Sun and moon are to you maybe inanimate things, right? No life to you, to us. It appears sun, moon, star have no life. And yet, they are affected by humans' corruption. This is what Buddha said. And Buddha further said that days and nights, months and fortnight seasons and years are out of order. When beings are corrupted in mind, day and nights, moon as month and years also out of order. And the world, the wind blows wrongly. The time to blow the wind, no wind. Not the time to blow the wind blows. So the wind blows wrongly. And out of season, the wind blows wrongly out of season, then the sky doesn't rain sufficiently and seasonally. If the sky, especially for the farmer, a certain time they need the rain, but the rain doesn't fall, so there's no harvest at all. When there's no harvest, then we have no food to eat, right? So the sky doesn't rain sufficiently and seasonally, and crops ripen in the wrong season. Men live on such crops are short life. weak and sickly. So nowadays we have a lot of sickness, right? It's also because the human minds become more and more corrupted. Therefore, they affect the harvest, affect the crops, affect the sun, the moon, the rain, the wind. So what we eat are not nutritious things anymore. Therefore, our body become weak, sick. This is what Buddha said in Anguttara Nikaya number 4. So from all this saying and story, we come to understand the power of the mind cannot be underestimated. As a human being, we want to live happily, and we want to live with ease. So what should we do? Take care of our mind. Not only for ourselves, also for our family, our friends, our country, our neighbor, our country, even for the whole world. However, we are human beings. And Buddha said in Dhammapada, the mind inclined to evil. The mind not naturally inclined to wholesome, but the mind inclines to evil. So when the evil mind arises in our mind, we know the effect already. The evil mind arises in our mind, it will attract the same force. The same evil mind will come to you that cause you harm and danger. Therefore, we have to prevent the evil mind from arising. But if it really arises in the mind, what should we do? What should we do? So in Majjhima Nikaya, number 20, Vitakka Santana Sutta, Buddha mentioned, Buddha gave 5 ways to overcome distracting thoughts or unwholesome thoughts. First, Buddha said, if there's any unwholesome thoughts that arise in the mind, you should use their opposite state of good mind to overcome it. Let's say, when the anger, unwholesome state of the mind arises in the mind, then what is the opposite wholesome state of mind to conquer, to overcome this anger? Yes? Metta, everybody know. Metta, loving kindness, everybody know. But have you ever tried, when you get angry, you still can retain metta? Not easy, unless you put into practice for a period of time. Otherwise, it won't come automatically, right? You practice a period of time already, and it becomes part of your habit, then you can use the metta to subdue your anger when it arises in you. Otherwise, you say, wait, when I get angry, I radiate metta. Never work, I tell you. There's a story, one Australian monk, I think most of you have heard this story before, because I've told it many times. He was practicing loving kindness meditation. So when we practice loving kindness meditation, first we radiate loving kindness to oneself, ourselves. Then, second, we radiate loving kindness to our respectable teacher, same sex, and still alive. So when successful, we radiate to the third type of person, we call neutral person. And when successful, then we change to the fourth type of person, enemy, our enemy. So when this Austrian monk, he was successful in radiate loving kindness to himself, second, to the respectable teacher, third, to the neutral person. But when come to the fourth person, enemy, there was a great challenge for him. But he tried very hard. So one day, he came to his teacher and told his teacher that, he said that when I try to radiate loving kindness to my enemy, may my enemy be free from all danger, be well and happy. And he said that, I am so afraid he really become well and happy. So from here, you know, even he has practiced metta for so many days and successful in a few person already, but come to the person he doesn't like, is a great challenge. Therefore, loving kindness cannot work all the time. Yeah. So you have to change another method. So Buddha say, if you use the opposite method, that loving kindness cannot subdue your anger, then use the second method, second option. What's the second option? Buddha say, you should reflect the danger of the anger. The danger of anger, just now I already give you many examples. The danger of anger provoke the violence of others, and that violent energy will come upon you and you will be harmed first. I already give example of how I am attacked by the dog, right? So you should reflect the danger of the anger. If you want to save yourself from all dangers, you have to give up that anger. Otherwise, the anger keep on emitting violent energy that attract many danger to come upon you. So you should reflect the danger of anger. But sometimes when the mind gets so angry, the mind cannot think skillfully, the mind cannot think wisely, also cannot reflect the danger of anger. Then what should you do? Buddha said, there's third option. Don't pay attention to that anger state of mind. For example, when you get very angry, don't entertain that anger thought. And shift your attention, transform your mind. Shift your attention from that anger thought to other things. If you like to hear music, turn on the music. So can avert your attention to other things. Or take a book and read. Or call your friend and talk. Buddha say, change your attention. Don't focus your attention on that anger. But think something else. Divert your attention. Just like when for example you have eyes, you can see many people in front of you. And so happen the first one is your enemy. So how can you prevent yourself not to see your enemy? Close your eyes, right? Close your eyes, that's all. Or you see other direction. But sometimes when you see your enemy, you already know when you see your enemy, that will provoke your anger, but you want to see more. You want to see more and make yourself more angry again. Therefore, mind is very difficult to tame. Mind won't listen to you. Mind only listen to you when you tame it for a long time. Otherwise, no, it won't listen to you. You already know, when you see, you get more angry, and yet you want to see more. Okay, so by avert our attention to other things, then we can free ourselves from that torturing thought, or that harmful thought. Still, Buddha say, the third option also cannot work. I still want to see him. So, what to do? The fourth option. And Buddha said, you should investigate the cause of your disturbing thought. What is the root cause that makes you so angry? So you keep on investigating the root cause one after another, and as you keep on investigating the root cause, even though you cannot solve the cause, you also have already averted your attention to that angry thought. So keep on investigating until one day, or until to the end, of your investigation, you may or may not find out the cause, but you already avert your attention from that disturbing thought. But if you can find out the root cause, then you solve the root cause. When you solve the root cause, then your anger, agitation will resolve, will disappear, will go away from in your mind. This is called cause and effect. So you know your anger is an effect of a certain cause and keep on working on that cause. The Buddha's teaching is killing the cause, not killing the effect. For example, there's a dog and there's a lion, and you stand there, you take one stick and throw to the dog. What will the dog behave? Bark, bark, or by the wood, by the stick, right? Okay, then you throw another stick and throw to the lion. What will lion behave? Huh? Yeah, attack you. Attack you. So in the teaching of the Buddha, we must behave like the lion. We should not behave like the dog, but we must behave like the lion. The dog, when a person try to hurt or beat the dog does not know how to attack the root cause of his pain, right? But he go and bite the wood. If the dog keeps on biting the wood, but I'm here, I can still throw again the wood or the stick, and the dog will be harmed again and again and again and again. There's no end to it. But the lion behaves differently. Lion is smart. He knows he was hurt, he was bitten, he was harmed, not because of that stick. Because of what? Because of the person who throw the stick. He is the one. So I directly attack him, then I will be free from all dangers and harm. So as a practitioner of Buddha's teaching, we must behave like the lion, not the dog. So this is the fourth way. Keep on investigating the root cause of your disturbing thoughts until you find out the root cause and tackle the root cause, and all the disturbing thoughts will suddenly dissolve. Okay? So this is the fourth way. However, Buddha said, sometimes it fails again. Fail, not successful. Mind is cannot work. Cannot function. When mind gets very angry, cannot function. No yoniso manasikara, cannot think wisely anymore. So Buddha say, last option. Last option is, Buddha say, clench your teeth and place your tongue above your roof of teeth, above the roof of your upper mouth inside, and use energy, effort, and using good state of mind to beat down the unwholesome state of the mind. Heroic effort, strong effort to take the wholesome state of the mind and beat down the unwholesome state of the mind. So lastly, Buddha emphasized, we cannot tolerate with any evil thoughts. Finally, use first, second, third, fourth, the last one, use energy, or hold your, how to call this, and teeth, bite your teeth, and use the wholesome state of the mind to beat down the unwholesome state of the mind. This is the five ways to overcome disturbing thought. And if these five ways also fail, then we have to take care of ourselves already. Take care of ourselves to start to create, to perform unwholesome karma. Once you cannot control in the mind, the action comes. When you perform the action, then bad karma is performed. Any bad karma, good karma or bad karma, once performed, leave behind bad effect, or we call vipaka. In the stream of our mind and body, when time ripens, unwholesome or painful result will take place. Therefore, I say the last one, if we fail in all these five ways, we are ready to make unwholesome karma and wait for the result to ripen and suffer accordingly. Okay, so therefore, Buddha said in Anguttara Nikaya, because I do not see even one other things that, when developed and cultivated, leads to such great happiness as the mind. The mind, when developed and cultivated, leads to great happiness. So, by attending today's talk, I hope this talk can awaken you the power of the wholesome mind that can protect you, that can protect the whole world, and the power of unwholesome mind that can harm you and that can harm the whole world. So I wish you to cultivate and develop your mind for your own benefits as well as for the benefits of the whole world. Thank you. So we have some question and answer session.